It's Wednesday, the 8th of April, day 18. Again, a beautiful day. Isn't it ironic that this period of lockdown should coincide with one of the longest patches of Californian-type sunshine that I can remember? I spent most of the day working, first writing my Observer column, and then in a series of online meetings and seminars, or as they are now called, webinars. Yuck, horrible word. It is interesting, though, getting to grips with these new media. I've used Skype almost from the beginning, but I've always had a love-hate relationship with it. This is partly due to a particularly bad experience in the autumn of 2013, when I was asked to do a live interview with Edward Snowden, the famous whistleblower, in front of an audience of 1,200 people at the Barbican. And midway through the call, Skype gave up, either because the connection had been hacked or just simply gone into a sulk, as it sometimes did in those days. The producer of the event saved the day. She had set up a secure chat line to Snowden in Moscow and stepped in as an interlocutor between him and me. But making this work in front of 1,200 people was the toughest assignment I can remember. And to this day, I still have the occasional nightmare conditioned by it. In it, I'm trying to talk to someone, and he or she is unable to hear me. At the moment, Zoom is the flavour of the month, though lots of people, including security experts I trust, like Bruce Schnarr and Ron Diebert, have been dumping on it for various weaknesses. Interesting, en passant, they also say, though, that it's okay for trivial conversations, by which they presumably mean academic discussions. But there's a group of people in a large corporation with whom I have non-trivial conversations regularly, and they decided this week that we should shift from Zoom to WebEx, the Cisco product. Accordingly, I've been setting that up and getting familiar with it. We'll be using it in Angular later in the week. It looks slick, but in a way all of these products are converging on the same set of features. So in the end, it'll be like switching between web browsers, I suspect. The final event of my day was a webinar on the subject of coronavirus and liberty in illiberal Europe, organised by one of the academic groups with which I'm associated. It had a panel of three very good speakers. John Donne, the political philosopher, speaking from his home in Cambridge, with birdsong in the background. From Brussels was Heather Grabb, the director of the Open Society European Policy Institute there, and Judy Dempsey, a senior fellow at Carnegie Europe and editor-in-chief of the Strategic Europe blog, speaking for Berlin. The whole shebang was chaired by Bridget Kendall, the distinguished BBC foreign correspondent who is now Master of Peterhouse, the oldest college in Cambridge. The result was an absorbing 75 minutes listening to three thoughtful experts batting around ideas about what would emerge from the present crisis. The most interesting question for me anyway came towards the end. Democracies everywhere are incurring huge debts in order to keep their economies from disintegrating and their citizens from destitution. But in the end, those debts will have to be paid off somehow. How? John Donne thought that there will have to be radical changes in the tax system. Land, for example, will have to be properly taxed, which it never has been in the UK. And doing that will have a fundamental impact on the British caste system. Democracies will have to have large tax revenues, and they will have to come from somewhere. This will involve huge political storms and require citizen compliance. Governments which have displayed real competence in taking their countries through the coronavirus storm will, John thought, be much more likely to get that compliance. Well then, I thought as I signed off, that certainly rules out the United States. And maybe the United Kingdom too. Hey-ho.